ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The Voice of Summer. Back again. Season number
52, I believe. Amazing. And he's joining the grandkids. That's what he calls us.
Yes.
His grandchildren. If we behave, we get an ice cream post-game for dessert after dinner with him. Jim Maxwell. Welcome, Jim. Good to see you.
Lovely to see you, Jim.
Nice to hear that the party has started. I'm looking forward to giving you, a few snakes or whatever you need to keep you going. You kids need a bit of sugar, don't you, to keep you up? Yeah. So I'll remember that. I got some freckles for you and some frogs, okay?
All right. Good.
Are you excited, Jim? Ready to go for another summer and particularly the Ashes? I mean, you don't need to get too excited. Obviously, every time this rolls around, you know what it's all about. But the anticipation for this year's series, where does it rank in terms of all the ones that you've covered in the past? People are saying, oh, it's the most anticipated Ashes ever and all the rest of it. Where does it stack up for you?
Well, I suppose it's up there, if only because both teams have got issues with their best lineup because of injury or age, I suppose you could say, is contributing to some of these injuries around people like Hazelwood and now Mark Wood for England. So we're not too sure who's going to play. I think that uncertainty adds a little bit of extra spice to what should be a very well-contested series. I have to say, my disappointment is that this game is not in Brisbane. That's where the first test has been for a number of years when England come to Australia. And I'm sure it won't miss out on atmosphere and the rest of the ingredients you need to make a game go. But just the Gavatoir's the place. You got to feed the lions to the kangaroos in Brisbane.
It does feel like a strange decision that they've made the Brisbane test a day-night test, doesn't it, Jim? I mean, we know that we so often get afternoon storms in Queensland, particularly at this time of the year, that, gee, that might be impacted by rain.
Well, it could be. I mean, you know my feelings about pink ball test matches. They're the most overrated form of the game, or one of the most overrated things in life. I just don't think they work. And you're right, it could be mucked up completely by Brisbane's normal summertime weather. If it's going to rain, it normally rains in the evening, just after we leave the ground. So, I hope it's not mucked up by the weather, and I hope it's not mucked up by a flattish pitch and a pink ball that, as you know, goes nowhere after about 20 or 30 overs. Even hard to reverse it. So, no, I'm not a fan of the pink ball, and I'm particularly not a fan of this 150th game in 2 years' time at the MCG in March with a pink ball. Ludicrous. Anyway, it'll be fun to watch, I suppose, if the ball zings around as it normally does in the last session of the day, which makes the whole contest a distortion of what test cricket should be about.
Hey, the trade-off is, Jim, it's a day test in Adelaide. I know you've been calling for that, so yeah. That'll help the social calendar, at least a chance to get out after play.
It should be made mandatory by the South Australian government, the Cricket Australia, that all test matches in Adelaide are played during the day. I mean, it's uncivilised to be at a cricket ground in Adelaide at 9 o'clock at night. You should be out feeding lollies to your grandchildren, whatever you're doing. You should be socialising, yes.
But what about those beautiful fairy floss skies we get as the sun sets out west over the beautiful stands on the western side of the ground, Jim? We won't get any of those shots.
You're a bit of a romantic, aren't you, Ben? I'm too busy looking at the cricket with a red ball when they play it to worry about all these sort of manifestations, excitement up there in the sky. So what you really have to worry about is the moment it starts raining or the umpires don't like the light, even with lights on or whatever. But the atmosphere in Australia particularly is superb because most of the time you're getting good weather.
We'll bring it back to some serious stuff here, Jim. The Hazelwood injury news yesterday. I know you watched a lot of the Shield match and you were across it when he limped off and Sean Abbott did the same. But the subsequent scans yesterday revealing that there is a little nick in that hamstring for Josh Hazelwood, so ruled out. How did you react to the news yesterday?
I was a bit surprised because I got the impression that Steve Smith and the rest of the luminaries at New South Wales had worked out, oh, there's a bit of a problem here. Get him off the field. You know, don't let him bat and everything else. So it looked like they had the matter in hand. But as we've seen in recent years with a number of bowlers, particularly Hazelwood, when he gets a twinge, look out. He has missed a few test matches in the Australian summer in particular, in much the same manner, with some sort of strain of the hammy. So it's all about a bit of the ageing process as well, which we've been drawn in quickly to with, you know, the talk of transition. And it's normally the bowlers that are under the most pressure, not the batsmen. So I think what will be exciting is to watch Doggett bowl. Mm. I've seen a bit of him. He's got pace. He's got durability. I know Ryan Harris sings his praises. And I think of all the alternatives that happen when this occurs, and I guess we've been lucky for a long while to have the same three bowling for Australia most of the time, I think this could be quite an exciting introduction, particularly if that Perth pitch has got all the marshmallows in that they're talking about.
It's a great story. There's no doubt about that. He left school to become a qualified carpenter, played grade cricket with Toowoomba Souths until his early 20s, had never played for a junior rep team. So he wasn't one of these guys that sort of came through the system and essentially found himself bowling to James Hopes, who was then still with Queensland Cricket. Hopes liked his speed, essentially got him inside some kind of an organised structure, and he went from there. Ended up winning two Sheffield Shield titles with Queensland. The last ball that he bowled for Queensland, he dismissed Josh Hazelwood to win the Sheffield Shield. Now it looks like he's going to take Hazelwood's place in the Test team. The last time he was called into an Australia squad, he came in as cover for Hazelwood. So there's lots of symmetry there between Hazelwood and Doggett, and it looks as if now he's going to get the opportunity. Of course, in more recent times, dominant in last year's Shield season, picked up a boatload of wickets, including 11 in the final as South Australia memorably broke that 29-year title drought. So a feel-good story, Brendan Doggett. He also is in line to become just the third First Nations player to represent Australia in Test cricket. So Scott Boland is obviously going to feature in the Test match. Jason Gillespie, who joins us in the next hour, is the other. So there's another little piece of history for Brendan Doggett should he debut come Friday.
That's a great story. Yep. Hopefully he is out there. It looks like he will be at the moment. Let's not forget Sean Abbott as well, because if he hadn't injured his hamstring in the same game as Josh Hazelwood, he may well be the man who is replacing Hazelwood and earning a Test debut. But that's not to be for him, Jim. So a little bit of misfortune there.
Indeed, yes, because he's been on the fringe almost as long as Andy Bickle was those years ago. So, it really is bad luck for him. And his chance might disappear if Cummins and Hazelwood are coming back into the fray over the next few tests. It's interesting that they've gone with Nisa, I suppose, because of his experience. But, I think we're almost at the point of moving beyond Nisa, to be honest, towards, I don't know, someone a bit like his stablemate, but Bartlett.
Yeah.
And there are some other blokes on the fringe who are not 100% fit, but you know, this was always going to happen in some way, and perhaps we're kind of easing into it by having it happen as dramatically as this at the start of the series rather than at some point in the series when one of these fellas gets injured or loses form or whatever. I mean, Dizzy Gillespie's a good one to talk about that, because it can happen quickly, as it did for him in 2005.
If you want to chat to Jim, 1-300-558-222 is the talkback number. So 1-300-558-222. We have lines available. This is Grandstand on ABC Sport with Corbin and Ben and the voice of summer, Jim Maxwell. Jim, does it improve England's overall chances, do you think, not just in this Test match but in the series, given the injury concerns for Hazelwood and for Cummins?
I think it's a bit of a mirage, to be honest. I mean, they need to make sure that their quartet of bowlers are 100%, and that's a concern. I mean, you talk about the rare instances that Australia have gone into a game and without both Cummins and Hazelwood, And the Bombers we've been talking up, Archer and Wood, as the series winners in Australia. Well, you know, the history says they've only ever played one test together. And this is only going to be the second if it happens, if Wood is fit. And given their sort of injury-prone history and the lack of test cricket, particularly from Archer, I'm thinking if England are going to win the game, they'll be relying on Atkinson and Cass more than those two. So, and that may be not a bad thing. We're getting very excited at the moment about the thought of getting up people's noses with quick bowling, but really it's the bowlers who retain their discipline and hit the length that are going to win these games. So England in particular don't want to get too carried away with the idea, if that's what they're thinking, that they're going to bounce Australia out. I think Stokes is still their best bowler, and it's just a question of how he manages his body and how he can get through the series. But, yeah, look, there's lots of interesting things we've been talking about, the weakness in top-order batting, and this isn't going to be like the test matches in England, which were played on flat pitches, short boundaries, and very hard to stop the fours flying away. I think this is going to be much tighter. And the other interesting thing, I reckon, coming into this series, Australia are much better prepared than they were last year against India when they lost, plus the fact that there's no Bumrah playing for England, and he was a huge factor last summer. So one or two of their bowlers are going to have to step up, and most of them haven't had much experience of playing Test cricket in Australia.
He was a huge factor two nights ago as well, Jim, against South Africa. They were learning about that, no doubt about that. 1-300-558-222. The first of our callers is Mark from Canberra. He wants to have a chat to you, Jim. Mark.
Yeah, good morning. Good evening. Good afternoon, fellas. I'm having a great weekend gardening and listening to the ABC cricket. I want to ask Jim about, and everybody's opinion about, Riley Meredith. He doesn't seem to get a lot of... There doesn't seem to be a lot of talk about Riley Meredith, but he's quick and he's taken wickets this season. Is he in the frame down the track, do you think?
He should be. He should be on the edge of it, given the alternatives, fit alternatives that Australia has. And if you, as you say, Mark, if you're looking for someone who's got a bit of pace, you're looking at the right bowler. He looks pretty durable. So, yeah, I'm sure he's in the discussion.
So he's got, 15 wickets in four Shield games so far. So he took six against Victoria and Western Australia, but missed out really during the week, just the one wicket in the game against South Australia. That was the limited overs game. Didn't play the Shield fixture there. So maybe that's part of the question as to...
Yeah, you know, was he overlooked there, or was that maybe carrying something and they didn't want to play him? Worth checking up on that. We'll try and find out.
1-300-558-222 is the talkback number. The guys that are unavailable, so as you touched on earlier, Jim, doesn't really just include Cummins and Hazelwood. It's also that next bracket of player. So Spencer Johnson, we'll talk to Ryan Harris about that later, hasn't played a whole lot of red ball cricket, sort of going back a number of years now. Lance Morris, who we caught up with at the start of the summer in those white ball games, he's coming back from back surgery. Jai Richardson is obviously on the comeback trail. So there's it feels like the guys that have been sort of waiting in the wings, Jim, for a number of years to get a look in behind this Hall of Fame trio are now all of a sudden finding themselves sidelined as well when a few opportunities open up.
If you want to have a little lotto, get everyone to send in their lineup of four fast bowlers for the next Ashes series in Australia.
Yeah.
And one of the first I would pick at this distance, if he's fit, would be that bloke who bowls so well in the Shield final, Callum Vidler. I thought he was outstanding, but he's another one who's injured. So, I'm trying to get into the old crystal ball as we go, because at some stage during this series, I think it'll be not just bowlers, but maybe at least one, if not two more batsmen, who'll also get turned over potentially, depending on what they do.
Could be the fastest way to chat to Jim, 1-300-558-222 is the talkback number, but that's a good one for the SMS.
Yeah, 0467-920-222. Worth mentioning as well, you can call up at any point through the remainder of the program. Jason Gillespie's in for an hour coming up. You can, you know, it's less exciting, I understand that, but you can chat to Corbin and I. You can give your opinion if you don't want to ask us a question, whatever it may be, as we roll through.
Jim, the We did a series recently for people that aren't aware. You can catch it, by the way, on ABC Cricket Podcast, where Jim and I caught up to bowl an over of Ashes memories with Jim, where he took us through his six favourite Ashes moments. Countdown's on. You can find them through the ABC Cricket Podcast. I saw parts of this even airing on ABC News, so it's getting a good run there of us sitting in the beautiful old home dressing room at the SCG. Mm. But in terms of a historical sense, if you were to put this series into context, you've got a dominant Australian team, albeit on the back end with a number of guys, you know, clearly on the back nine of their career, against an English team that have had to wait 15 years to get the opportunity to break through. Where does this sit in terms of the history of the Ashes, this kind of, how would you sell it to us this time around, this series?
Well, I'd sell it on the basis to start up with that England might actually turn up this time. I mean, let's be honest. They only turn up about once in four series in Australia. That'd be 1954-5. Then they didn't turn up again seriously with a result until 70-71. And then 86-7. And then 10-11. Now, most of the time, you'd have to say, even in the last 20 years when Australia have struggled to win a series in England, at least they've been competitive and we've gone to the last game at the Oval with the series on the line. So I think, you know, there's no moral victories nonsense. There's no COVID for them to have an excuse about. They've got to turn up this time. They do sort of put out the energy or whatever about taking Australia on. But we'll see. I don't think it's going to be as easy a task if that's the way they're looking at taking Australia down as they did in England in 23 when they backed, as they might expect. Having said that, I am looking forward in particular in seeing Harry Brook back, because I think he is potentially a serious match winner influencer, if you like, and of course Joe Root. He scored so many runs that eventually he'll get the 100 and maybe a few of them in this series. But yeah, I just think there's a little bit of a question mark around England's ability to score, dominate in the way they've been doing against lesser sides to an extent in the last few years, when the Baz ball has been raging in Pakistan and other places. So look, I'm anticipating a very good contest and a close series. People did that in 1958-9 when England brought out a slightly ageing team to play Australia.
Remember it.
What
yeah.
happened then? Australia won 4-0. So it may happen again.
Just stirring you up, Jim. Good to speak to you, Jim Maxwell, the voice of Summer, chatting to us here on Summer Grandstand, our Mega Ashes preview. Just on Brook, I'm confident he will average less than 30. I think the Aussies will outpatient him outside the off stump, and I think if that fails, they'll get him out on the hook. He's a compulsive hooker. We know he gets away with it on the smaller grounds in the UK, often top edges, or just hook it for six clean, but I think the Aussies will get him there with maybe two back. This question for you, Justin from Hawthorne, says, why not Fergus O'Neill, says in brackets, younger instead of Michael Nisa? Is he too slow in terms of his airspeed?
I don't think that should be relevant. It would be if there was nothing in the pitch or no ability to move the ball. I think that's where he might come unstuck, and Nisa would too, for that matter. So normally in Australia, you need some pace. But these pitches the last couple of years, as we saw Scott Boland's debut a few years ago, if you're quick enough and accurate enough to do it, bit with the ball in the air or off the surface, you're in the game. So, yes, I think he's a chance at some point in this series.
Now, there's another text coming through, anonymous, no name, no pack drill, but it says, is Jim looking forward to travelling the countryside in Agger's plane? How brave are you, Jim?
Well, here's the joke. This is on my wife, who you know well, Jen. Mm-hmm. She said, well, if it all goes wrong, at least I won't have to pay for the cremation. That's what she said. So,
we'll see
what occurs. It's just a joke, folks. Come on, you know. We can't be serious about all these things. But there is a bit of flying going on for a couple of weeks. for the dear old Angels. So, Angel Flight. Yeah, I'm pleased to be helping Aggies and the rest out. It's a very good cause, and we're going around the country in New South Wales and South Australia over the course of the next few weeks to raise awareness and some resources. Yes.
Have you ever travelled with him in the past? So he flies his little Cessna planes. You've already been on board in the.
When he's flying, we don't mean just travelling with him, like sitting as a passenger.
I've flown with him in England. He's not a rookie. He's got a number of hours behind him. So you fly down to the Isle of Wight or go to Cannes for lunch or something. That's what you can do in England. We travel a bit further for a good lobster here, but. I'm sure we'll work something out. We're going up to the Flinders Ranges at one point, and I know we're going to get some good country bush hospitality as we go. Looking forward to seeing everyone.
How good. Great way to see all different corners of the country. You guys are going to all sorts of different places, aren't you, across your journey? And Agger's ran through a few of the towns with us yesterday. And, what a great way to be able to take it all in.
Well, it's good for everyone. It's particularly good for those who are on the receiving end of the largesse, the donations that are coming from Angel Flight to help these people out. So that's the most impressive, important part of the whole exercise. But there's no doubt. That's why I tell everyone, if you want to watch a decent program on television, watch Landline, and you might learn a bit more about what's beyond your backyard, because most of us live with a backyard in the city and don't know anything about what's going on in the country.
Backroads, another great program.
Look at all these ABC shows. Quick prediction from you, Jim. What are you anticipating? Series prediction overall?
Well, by hook or by trick or whatever, I'm probably a 3-1 to Australia, but I could be horribly wrong.
Jim, can't wait to see you in Perth on Friday. We'll be there for the start of the series. Cannot wait for it. Appreciate your time as always.
And yours. Nice to see you, talk to you, whatever, boys. And I'll bring the lollies for you to keep you amused.
The voice of summer, the great Jim Maxwell on ABC Sport. And we're back in 15.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.